listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It's Thursday morning. That means it is time for Historically Speaking with our friends at Concordia Historical Institute. Joining me in studio today, Laura Mars and Mark Blesey. Laura, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
Welcome back. And Mark, welcome back.
Good morning, Andy.
Glad to have you all in studio. Thanks for making the trek over this morning in this lovely weather.
Wasn't too bad.
It wasn't? Well, good. It seemed like just a little before you came over, I could see a little lightning out there.
And it still is.
The thunder is, still a little rough out there. Well, thanks for making the trek over and sharing with us here on His Time about Concordia Historical Institute. Now, remind me a little bit about your work at Concordia Historical Institute. Laura, share with us what you do.
Mark and I both work at the research desk, which means we field calls and emails on basically history of the Lutheran Church in North America. So a lot of what we do outside of just helping people with their research work with like PhDs and things, a lot of our calls have to do with genealogy and church records.
Sure.
And that's a lot of fun to be able to talk to people about their families. We really enjoy that. One of the talks that we're going to speak on today was someone who came and they were needing a passport. I brought my passport here because Dr. Harmelink usually has some sort of visual in this.
Which is great for me.
Right.
It helps me understand what's going on.
So this is my little visual. It's my passport. And we had a lady call in and she was going to take a cruise with her family. Mm-hmm. But she's an elderly woman who was born at home and didn't have a birth certificate. So she needed her baptismal certificate because that can be used as a legal document to be able to get her passport. And so we were able to find her record in a church book because the church that she was baptized in had been closed and the records were sent to CHI as they should be. And so we were able to produce a certificate with an official seal, you know, stamped and everything that would satisfy the government's need for a birth certificate.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so she was able to go on her cruise with her family. So that's the sort of fun things that we get to do.
Things that I wouldn't have thought of.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So you get questions, I'm sure, via the email and phone calls all the time. And I wouldn't have even thought of that, but that's records, how important they are, right, not just for individuals, but for communities as well. Mm-hmm. Mark, what are some of the questions that you've received that you've addressed?
Oh, they run the gamut from calls about pastors, people that had previous pastors. They wanted to know a little bit more about their life, things that are about churches that were in a place and the people remember about what that church was. And if we have information on those churches, congregations who will call in because they're going to be celebrating a major anniversary and they want to know what we have that they don't have. Walk-in researchers who are looking for family information or scheduled researchers who come from great distance to go ahead and do research on things that we have at CHI that they're not able to obtain any other place.
What's been the most unique question?
Oh, I know you'd ask that. And I was thinking on the way over here, what would be unique?
What was the most unique question you've received? Or the one that you had to spend the most time researching?
Sometimes they don't actually finish. Sometimes they continue to keep on going on because we might run across something weeks later and be able to still stay in contact with them if we have their phone number or if we have their email that we're able to spend a little more time. That actually happened recently. We had Dr. Chapman he's at Concordia in Moorhead, and he's doing research on Central American Lutheranism. And he had come over for a week and spent time, and we helped him find as much stuff as we possibly could. But I happened to be doing something else completely different, and I ran across another folder of an individual that he was doing some work on, and I sent him an email and let him know the next time he comes to remember that there's this additional folder that I found. And so he was very thankful that, you know, we're staying in contact with him to let him know the kinds of things that we also find. I mean, sometimes for us, it's also finding things that we didn't know that we had.
Sure. So. Seems like you have to have a system to keep track of all these inquiries.
Right. Well, it's a large place, so it's deceptively large. If you drive by, you don't think it's as large as it is. But we have like 10,000 square feet of temperature and humidity controlled archives there to go through and databases to search and things like that. It's not just, well, I think it's up here on the third floor. But sometimes you'll come across, if he's looking at missions and this particular person has more information in actually what he did before he was in missions. He was a parish pastor or something, and there's, you come across information just from another part of the geography that he was in. So,
do you walk in some days and wonder, what question will I get today? What will I get to research today?
No, usually it's all the things that I know I have in my hopper currently, and making sure what I have to continue to keep on working on. Then it's always going to be if somebody comes in or walks in or calls or things like that, then some cases they're easy to answer. It takes maybe 5 minutes and we're able to answer their question. In other cases, it might take a little more research. So yeah, it really varies.
Now, you mentioned some of the sources you have in the archives for answering these questions might be documents from a church, from a congregation that has dissolved, and so they send the documents to CHI. What are some other sources of information that you use to answer questions?
Oh, we get files from different boards here at the International Center that, you know, their work is done, or they're just old enough. They're keeping the records that they currently use, but they send everything else over. So we'll go through those. It really just depends on the researcher and what they're looking for. So.
What's the oldest, the oldest source you've had to use to answer a question? How far back have you had to look?
Well, there was one, we have I think it's a 1482 indulgence, and somebody wondered about, in the Martin Luther movie, they wanted to know where it actually was. They saw the picture of Tetzel holding up the indulgence and pointing out something, and they said, is that really there, or was that just kind of made up? And I looked on the original one to see where it actually said that, for full forgiveness for all sins, in Latin. And so we had to look that up to see, yes, that's really there.
Wow. I think that's that part of research, if I understand correctly, is dramaturgy, where you're actually doing research for a script, you know, for a play or for a screen, you know.
We had to do a lot of, I was in the Walther movie, and we had to do a lot of that to verify things and make sure that we were correct on what we were doing to try and make it as accurate as possible. Yeah.
A lot of work in order to, yes, if you're telling a story, whether it's a documentary even if it's fiction, but yet it's based on history, you know, want to make sure that you get the facts right.
Right. Yeah.
And it's more than just, especially for a film or for a play, it's more than just reading something out of a book, you know, that the audience is witnessing. They're seeing things, they're visuals.
You know, right.
Was that really placed right here?
Right.
Was that really present there? So we've talked about some of the oldest sources you've had to go to, some of the most, some of the unique questions. What are the day-to-day questions that you get?
Well, I think we get a number that are, I need my baptismal information, but my church is closed, or my grandmother was in a church, in a Lutheran church in Chicago. Can you tell me which one? and that's a difficult one, because, you know, especially those early dates, and now even today, there's just tons of churches that could be possibilities. And, well, do you know where they live? Do you have like a census? You know, maybe we could start narrowing this down. And we try to help them as much as possible. But I think the biggest myth to display would be there is no database of every Lutheran's life in the church that we can just access, you know, just type in the name and, oh yes, here it is on this date at this church.
You have some work to do. Let's create that database.
Yeah, we actually have to go into the archives, dig out the old record books, look through the pages, see if they're there. So,
wow.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun to go through archives like that, but it is work too.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, it is, and no different than it is for a national archives here in the United States. If you call in to find military records, let's say, I went to find my father's World War II records, and they were able to go ahead and say, well, we know where they're located. They were able to copy them, and then I paid for them, and they were sent to me. But it's the same thing. They knew where to locate them, but then they had to actually get the physical record in order to be able to send it. And that's no different than what we have to do. We have a means of access in our database to be able to find where these things all are, but then we actually have to go and get them and then look at them in order to see, is there something there pertinent? Is there something that is leading us to another place? Those are still the same kinds of things that are being done for all different kinds of archives.
What's the system for or organization for storing these archives? I mean, you know, libraries, sometimes they use the Dewey Decimal System. There's a structure and order to how these are organized. How do you organize these archives? Is it by date, or how do you organize your archives?
In some ways, yes, it's by date. Sometimes it's by how collections come to us. If it's biographical things, they go in alphabetically. If it is something that comes over from boards and commissions, it's done by date. When they come over, we add them in as they come as a collection. So some people might find that a little frustrating to say you just don't have everything from the oldest date to the most current date. Mm-hmm. It's really within each time they come over that they're by those specific dates. So you might have information that actually goes back a little bit farther and overlaps. So that's arranged differently than what we would have other ones. Congregational records, it's usually by its location, mm-hmm. Where it's located, which state, which city, and so mm-hmm. forth. So it's done that way.
So you just have a big map. Your that whole floor is just shaped like a map of the United States.
Right.
Right. That's it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a little bit fuller in some parts of the map. Huh?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Where those immigrants landed, and where there were lots of Lutherans in the country at one time.
Or as is happening now, one thing that we're starting to see more of is new church starts and trying to assist them. They'll try and find out how should we organize our own archives to keep mm-hmm. track of this, because a lot of times congregations don't think about that, of maintaining a history of themselves. You do it within your own mind mm-hmm. and know what you know, people you've known or pastors that you've had, but it's not written down, or they don't keep track of it. And then they come to us and ask what we have, and we don't have very much because they've never sent things to us. So this is a good chance for new congregations to go ahead and establish that right away and be able to keep track of those kinds of things, so that then mm-hmm. they're able to maintain their own history and then help other people as well.
So giving them some ideas of what they need beyond just the electronic database that they maintain
yes.
now for membership and things like that.
Yes.
Right. That's a great idea. Well, how can we get in touch with, obviously, the website, Concordia Historical Institute? What if we have a question that we're trying to find an answer to? What's the best thing to do?
If you call the reference desk directly, that number is 314-505-7935. And that'll go directly to reference. You can call the main number, which is the same area code, and then 505-7900. She will go ahead, the receptionist, she'll go ahead and send it back to us. But you can call reference directly.
Very good.
And you can email us also.
What's that?
Mm-hmm. reference@lutheranhistory.org.
reference@lutheranhistory.org. Great email address. That's easy to remember. Well, thank you both for being my guests this morning and sharing with us, well, something on historically speaking. Laura Mars, Mark Bleasy, thanks so much for being my guest today.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.